federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio! Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
All this talk of getting old, it's getting me down, my love, like a cat in a bag, waiting to drown. This time I'm coming down. And I hope thinking of me is you lay down on your side. Now the drugs don't work, they just make you worse, but I know I'll see your face again. Now the drugs don't work, they just make worse, but I know I'll see your face again. But I know I'm on a losing streak. As I pass down my own street.
In April of 2019, the United States Food and Drug Administration received reports of serious harm in patients who are physically dependent on opioid pain medicines, suddenly having these medicines discontinued or the dose rapidly decreased. These include serious withdrawal symptoms, uncontrolled pain, psychological distress, and suicide. This was the FDA. Shortly before the opioid crisis was elevated to a thing with doctors and the medical establishment, right alongside of a COVID, right alongside of lockdowns, this opioid restriction came. Even the FDA, knowing that it caused problems.
If heaven calls, I'm coming too, just like you said. You leave my life.
In the summer of 2020, with the reduction in my brother's oxycodone and the persistence of the lockdowns, my brother took his own life because the pain, the stress was too much. The show that I started Sunday on Republic Broadcasting is commemorative of that, but people are asking me, why am I spending so much time talking about cannabis and alternative remedies using cannabis? And it's because it could help. And another thing is that we can grow our own cannabis. We're not dependent on pharmaceuticals for our medication. Welcome. This is Captain Fred. This is the fifth dimension in two times. Not only are we on Sunday, but we're on today at now, and we will be in the future too. This fifth dimension exists, past, present, and future. So let's embrace it and let's create the future that we want. Let's not live in the past or live in a present that's been determined by the cultural engineers deciding what we need and what we don't need. You know, first, I'd like to say this is Captain Fred, and this is the Fifth Dimension Live today, the 17th of July, the year 2022. We've been, for the last two shows, talking about cannabis oil, CBD oil, THC oil, alternative medicines. And a lot of people were asking me, Fred, you must really be a bad stoner. You're talking about weed and you're talking about cannabis and concentrates and psilocybin and all these illegal drugs. Well, they're illegal because the pharmaceutical companies really don't want you to know or to use anything other than their prescribed substances. But substance abuse is a trap. Drugs, alcohol are like an abusive lover who treats you well at first and then beats you up and apologizes and gives you nice treatment for a while and then beats you up again. The trap is trying to hang in there for the good while trying to overlook the bad. And that never works. The year of 2020 was not a very good year for very many people. I lost three loved ones that year. One of them, and the one that this show is about, is my brother. My brother was a pain sufferer, and he had chronic back problems. He was suffering from depression. And over the years, he had become dependent on one of the oxy drugs for his back problem. He'd been using Prozac for his depression because he was a believer in the pharmaceutical industry. He was a believer in the American Medical Association. He believed that they had his best interest in heart. Well, during the lockdown of 2020, at the same time, they are processing a war on opioids, because they believe that opioids were becoming epidemic and people didn't need opioids as much as they thought they did. So my brother's prescription for his oxycodone or whatever it was that kept him from being in pain all of his life, whatever kept him from being in pain, they took away from him. That's one of the reasons why I believe people should learn to use these natural medications like marijuana, cannabis, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of people are ashamed to use the word marijuana, but I think it's become synonymous with the cannabis plant that grows massive amounts of THC. But the government very consciously took this medication away from people that were dependent on it for their well-being. And this was in the middle of this, quote, pandemic or whatever you want to call it. But we got to understand that the pharmaceutical companies run this government. The pharmaceutical companies are running the media. And the banks profit from both. It's the dark triad. The dark triad of media, medical, and money. I'd like to play a clip. I don't know if Sam's got it in front of him yet. Do you have the clips that I sent you, Sam? Play clip one for us really quick and listen. Let's hear this discussion from this person that was deprived of his medications.
I'm being twisted alive. That's what's causing me my pain.
Silent suffering and now desperate fear. Tonight, the other victims of West Michigan's war on opioids.
For them, the much maligned drugs at the center of the deadly epidemic are a lifeline. Target 8 investigator Susan Samples got unprecedented access to the front lines of the opioid crisis, but she's not stopping there. Susan.
Brian and Marley, there is no question opioids devastate lives. So many courageous families helped make that clear in my series of special reports, A Killer Among Us. But I also heard from many of you desperate to share your side, to show that while opioids can take lives, they can also save them.
Do you see that my back looks like it's curving one way or the other?
It's tough to miss it, even from this angle, but the x-ray is irrefutable.
The twisting's from the scoliosis, and then all through my spine, I've got arthritis.
Shockingly, she wasn't diagnosed with scoliosis until her 40s, when her back started hurting after she began work at a child care center. A dozen years later, she can barely straighten herself up.
It hurts right all through here, terrible, all the time.
Melissa, a 50-something wife and mom from suburban Grand Rapids, asked us to conceal her identity not for privacy, but for safety. There's a criminal market for the fentanyl patch her pain doctor prescribes her. 37 micrograms she relies on to make her pain livable.
I do not like to hear fentanyl and heroin in the same sentence. It's like they don't belong together, and they're mixing them together. And fentanyl's getting a bad rap over it.
Opioids like heroin, methadone, fentanyl, and mixtures thereof top the list of deadly overdose-causing drugs at the center of the CDC-labeled epidemic. But now, victims of another epidemic, chronic pain, fear that doctors, scared by the Fed's crackdown on loose prescribers, will cut pain patients off.
What would that mean to you if you did not have access to fentanyl?
Huh. I don't know. I mean, this is how people end up searching the streets for something.
Narcotics are not going to be taken away. No.
Dr. Keith Javery runs the Javery Pain Institute in Grand Rapids.
Bottom line, they're not going to be taken away, nor should they be.
Javery says while most patients don't need opioids for more than a couple weeks, some do need them to function long term. And he doesn't want doctors to be afraid to prescribe them, but...
I will tell you that half the patients that come to me on opioids didn't have to be on them for that long.
For too long, says Javery, doctors have been too quick to prescribe opioids and too lax on monitoring the patient's use.
Finally, we have people listening, but look what it took. It took a national epidemic for people to finally start to listen.
Javery's speech, doctors have to keep closer tabs on opioid patients, make them sign a contract, involve their family, undergo counseling, submit to random urine testing and pill counts. And Javery says opioids are never the only answer, coupled instead with techniques like nerve block therapy, spinal stimulation, pain pumps.
While sometimes narcotics are necessary, we have found utilizing these other methods is that fractions of the doses are needed for fractions of the total number of patients.
I will be responsible for the secure storage of my medication at all times. If it were to be stolen, I must report this immediately and have a police report.
Melissa's not a Javery patient, but her pain doctor made her sign a contract to do counseling, physical therapy. She also gets spinal injections routinely and withdrawal if she's late with a patch.
You don't put it on in time. You can feel like there's bugs crawling all over you. And it's a horrible feeling. It's just horrible feeling.
The feeling she doesn't get from fentanyl, she says she doesn't feel high, only like she can live another day.
People like me, you can't live a life in the pain that I would be in without it. It's not a life to live that way.
Melissa takes her fentanyl responsibly, safely, says she knows the risks of accidental overdose. She had surgery planned last fall, but then...
Even as the pharmaceutical industry is issuing warnings about the sudden discontinuation or the rapid decrease of doses of opioids, even as they're issuing warnings, the medical establishment is pursuing a policy of abstinence, of cessation of medication for people that have been using it for years, criminal act, knowing that it caused pain and suffering and suicide. Even after, in their own press release in April of 2019, they say, while we continue to track this safety concern as part of our ongoing monitoring of risk associated with opioid pain medicines, we are requiring changes to the prescribing information for those medicines that are intended for the use in the outpatient setting. These changes will provide expanded guidance to healthcare professionals on how to safely decrease the dose in patients who are physically dependent on opioid pain medications when the dose is to be decreased or the medication is to be discontinued. Yeah, the rapid discontinuation can result in uncontrolled pain and withdrawal symptoms In turn, these symptoms can lead patients to seek other sources of opioid pain medications, which may be confused with drug seeking for abuse. And it's really amazing that now the media is pushing the fentanyl crisis because, of course, they can't get their other drugs. So fentanyl, illegal fentanyl, is a real issue. So is heroin. So is other problems. You know, cannabis has never been known to cause a death or, but it is still illegal in about 18 states.
What I will be tracking is how they can protect patients like
You called when Jim abusive.
Some do need them to function long term, and he doesn't too do counseling, physical therapy. She also gets spinal injections routinely and withdrawal if she's late with a patch.
You don't put it on in time. You can feel like there's bugs crawling all over you, and it's a horrible feeling. You can't live a life in the pain that I would be in without it. It's not a life to live that way.
Melissa takes her fentanyl responsibly, safely, says she knows the risks of accidental overdose. She had surgery planned last fall, but then her husband lost his job. State lawmakers are right now working on bills to fight the epidemic, but part of their challenge and what I will be tracking is how they can protect patients like Melissa in the meantime. I'm Target 8 investigator Susan Samuels.
That's really a sad story, isn't it, folks? We've been treated pretty poorly by this government and by this pharmaceutical and this medical establishment. They've told us that this is care, but I'm not gonna call this care. I'm gonna call this abuse. This is like an abusive lover, someone that just beats us up and then waits us to feel a little bit better, then beats us up again. These pharmaceutical companies are evil. I'd like to take callers today if I can. The number today is 512-248-8252. Yeah, folks, don't call that phone number. That's the RBN number. And this show partially is from that show last week. It's not all. This is live. I'm live. So please don't call that number. Sam will be taking your calls. But we've went over the alternatives, and we believe that marijuana and hemp and can be useful alternatives to these pharmaceuticals that are prescribed. They include codeine and Demerol and methadone, morphine, oxycodone, Percocet, Vicodin, and fentanyl, of course. It's really interesting. It's interesting that that we have a fentanyl epidemic just about the time. Yeah, folks, we've been programmed to just about believe anything that pharmaceutical companies tell us. But in the meantime, you have wonderful cannabis that you can depend on. This is Captain Fred. You're listening to Revolution Radio. This is July the 19th of 2022. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on The Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not
be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Folks, welcome back. That's a song by Ween called Zoloft, helping to make me love me. That's what drugs are for, isn't it? That's pharmaceuticals. How many people do you know that have been taking SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors? Yeah, these pharmaceutical companies, who do they think they are? That the government declares war on prescription painkillers. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? You know, it reminds me of 1937 when Harry Anslinger demonized cannabis to give him another problem to address, another whipping boy of public use or abuse. The pharmaceutical companies still make tons of money. They're making money on just about everything. They own the media. They own the medical institution. You know, we don't have much of an opportunity. Greg in California. Hi, Greg. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Doctor. Fred.
No, just call me Fred.
Captain
fine.
Fred. Captain Fred. That's what. Yeah, and it's Gregory. Anyways.
Yeah, you called before. Didn't you call that you were making your own cannabis oil?
Well, I'm making the paste now. I'm not making the Rick Simpson oil anymore because I do believe the paste gives you the whole plant instead of distilling, just a certain aspect of it.
That's wonderful. I want to hear more about it.
I feel good when I do it.
How are you doing it? Tell us.
Yeah, well, you know, I believe, I hope I'm wrong, but I believe they weaponized that beautiful plant And it took them that many years to weaponize it before they legalized it again, so that smokers and tokers and all that other stuff will croak easier. But that's just my conspiracy theory. I don't know.
I never heard of anybody dying from cannabis.
No, but maybe they weaponize it to where it gives you a heart attack. You know, everything's giving you a heart attack these days except for the jab, because the jab was Dr. Fauci's dream come true, his wet dream come true. That with the pharmaceuticals. Yeah, those are the enemy. The enemy's right in front of us, and nobody cares to look at them. It's phenomenal.
Well, I think people that listen to Revolution, I mean, Republic, I'm on both networks, Revolution Radio and Public Broadcasting. I believe people that listen to the alternative media understand who the enemy is.
But we're not doing nothing about it.
You never did tell me how you're processing your pace, because I'm interested.
Oh, it's super easy. All you do is, you grind up your buds and whatever you want to throw in it, put it in the oven for at 200 for an hour, maybe 2 hours. Got to turn a little brown, right? Because that activates all the cannabinoids and terpenes and whatnot. And so after that, let it cool off and throw some olive oil. I'm doing coconut oil right now. I like coconut oil. And shake it up, and that's it. I have to take real small doses because I'm very sensitive to it. Do any more, I find myself in the closet, curled up, paranoid.
In the closet, reading all the novels you stuffed back there 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really sure that's the kind of pace that they're talking about, because when I think of paste, I think of a concentrate. I think of something that's more potent. As far as grinding up flours and cooking it, they call that decarbolating the THC molecules are encased in a crystal on its crystalline structure. And if you don't heat it up and melt that away from the THC, it won't get you high. Or the THC is shielded from being absorbed by the body is what it is.
Ergo, the reason why you put it in the oven for a couple hours.
Right, right. But if you use a distillate like grain alcohol, you can distill that down into a much more potent a chemical structure, and I've seen
that. Folks, things too. Sometimes the conversation can bring up some ideas, and as Greg and I were discussing making this homemade cannabis paste, there was a caller later that pointed out a couple of flaws with Greg's technique for this, so I'd like to ask you to continue listening, and we'll get to that here in a few minutes here. So I'm sorry if I'm a little messy with my blend of sound and music today, but it happens sometimes. This is live radio. Have looked like a paste, but definitely a lot stronger than a paste. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
If people are needing some kind of painkiller and their doctor is afraid to prescribe them a painkiller, I would suggest that they try what you have done. It's really easy. And
if the oil works, the Rick Simpson distilled way works, yeah. I mean, I've done that too, and I do grain alcohol myself because I re-still it. So when you refill, you up your alcohol content on whatever you're stilling. And I think I said it last time that, after I still some of this stuff that's been soaking for a long time, the next still, there's just a tight tint of green in the alcohol, and it's up to 90, 95%. And that's fun. And it tastes really good.
You called when Jim Strang was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and Jim uses that, but he calls his alcohol residual hempahol.
Hempahol, that's a good one. Yeah, I don't remember that. Yeah, that's fun.
Anyway, yeah, the painkillers, like I was saying, my brother was using oxycodone and he was using Prozac, and when they cut his oxycodone off, he didn't have any way to deal with the pain that he had in his back. He was in misery the whole time, and I think the Prozac creates suicidal tendencies anyway, and when they unleashed this uncontrolled pain on my brother, he didn't have any way out. And I wish your brother
would have listened to James Corbett on the Corbett Report when he did that expose on Devil Bill Rockefeller. You know, the snake oil salesman that his dynasty ultimately controlling the medical establishment right now. It's because of that moron.
Well, the problem with suicide is that nobody can see far ahead. And
so you mean your brother committed suicide?
Yeah, that's what it was.
I'm sorry.
He was in a situation that was forced on him. I mean, he was addicted to the opioids, and he was using the Prozac, which causes suicidal tendencies. The pharmaceutical industry murdered my brother.
They did?
Yeah, absolutely. Murdered him.
I would even go as far as to say it was premeditated, too. I mean, look at the jabs. They're premeditatedly killed or murdered X amount of millions of people.
They're still
so far. Yeah, it's a gift that keeps on giving, by golly. Giving death.
It amazes me, Greg, that that people still listen to media. They parrot whatever they've heard on the television. And all that's on the television, for the most part, is propaganda. And it's used to manipulate people into believing whatever they want you to believe. Folks that have taken the shot of the four jabs and the bonus jabs still believe that they're being protected by that pharmaceutical. The length of mind control that the media has got on the world, not just the United States, is amazing. It's mind-boggling.
Oh, it is. It's totally, they've ensnared the whole planet with their media. In fact, James Corbett did a expose, his latest one was on media and the various forms of media. In fact, we are in media right now. We're commercing in media. He explained it to where if you're not face-to-face with that person or whatever you're doing, if you're having to go to some other device, TV, television, radio, doesn't matter, you're being mediated to. And I've made a lot.
I've got, this is an interesting request right here. Paul in New York is requesting to talk to you, Greg. You like to have a conversation?
Well, certainly.
All right. Paul, are you available for us?
I absolutely am.
Well,
how are you guys doing?
Well, Greg?
Magnanimous now that you're on, by golly.
All right, you're too kind. Okay, now, am I correct in assuming that you bake the weed in the oven before you mix it together with the stuff and make a paste out of it?
Yes, sir. You just throw it in there green, you know, your green buds is what I did. I ground them up a little bit, throw them in the oven, and on my oven, actually, it's 150 degrees to activate the terpenes and everything. And the reason why you're turning
right.
it 200 is because it overcomes the pan that you got it in and all this and that. But when it turns brown, you know it's done, throw whatever you want on top of it as far as oil, or heck, throw it in your milkshake. I don't know. Whatever floats your boat.
Okay.
That's what I love doing.
All right. I don't want to upset your apple cart or anything like that, but there is a better way to do it, and I will tell you.
I'm all ears.
There's a better way. Okay. The problem with drying it, with air drying it, letting the bud dry out before you mix anything with it, is the terpenes evaporate very quickly, and you want the terpenes to be there. Now, the only thing you're doing through the decarboxylation process is breaking down the THCA, the acid, okay, and then converting that to THC, which activates it. Okay. Now, what you can do is you take your bud green, okay, and you put it in a little jar, like a 4-ounce jar or an 8-ounce jar, something like that, and you mix your coconut oil in with it, and you put anything else in there you want to, you stir it up, you make a paste, and then you put that, you put a lid on it, and you put that in a pot of water, and you let that simmer for 5-6 hours, okay? And after you've had it simmering for a while, you shut the heat off, you take the jar out, you crack it open to let the pressure out, you tighten it back down again, and you put that in the refrigerator. And you take like a pea-sized dose of that twice a day, and you know that all of the terpenes are still there. There's 108 of them, and 90% of them don't survive the drying process. That's why you don't let the bud dry out. There's over 500 phytonutrients in there as well that will break down under dry heat. Mm-hmm. And you will wind up, I mean, this is actually the method that, have you heard of hemp paste? This is actually the method they use in preparing. It's Canon Cannabis 101, and that's how they do it.
I'll be darned. Okay? Well, thank you so much for that information, Doc.
Yeah. Well, I've always used butter.
Butter works, too.
Right. I mean, back in the day, I would grind my cannabis up, clean it first, and de-seed as much as you can. I use a coffee grinder to pulverize it. But I always use butter and cook it with butter, and that way I could add it to whatever I want. I don't like the large size texture of cannabis leaf. I mean, it seems to be pretty abrasive. But
okay, well, then all you got to do is grind it, put it in the jar, then put your oil in it before you dry it, before you cook it. Mix it together, cook it for 5-6 hours, just on a simmer. All you're doing is you're just canning it, okay? That'll decarboxylate it, and just like I said, you put it in the refrigerator, and it'll keep forever. And all it takes is a pea-sized dose.
Wow. You got my attention with that. That makes sense.
Paul, do
if you want to see a video on how to do it, if you want to see a video on how to do it, search YouTube for the channel Privatist, P-R-I-V-A-T-I-S, .me living, okay? And probably about September of 2015, the guy on that channel did Canon Cannabis 101. It's the exact process on how to make it.
Hey, you guys, hold on a little while. I think this is pretty interesting. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred of the Fifth Dimension, and we're talking to Paul in New York and Greg in California, coast to coast today. We'll be... Thank you. Yeah, folks, sometimes we don't know what's behind the door until we open. That's Soul Dog singing this wonderful Soul Dog sound.
Impossible? Quite the contrary.
Physically demanding experiences anybody can endure. And when the government declared war on opioids and started restricting the prescription of opioids, there were a lot of people that began to suffer needlessly. And there's a lot of different things that we can do for withdrawal. And we've talked about cannabis, cannabis paste. And there's a lot of different things. Paul, you were, when we went to the break, you were beginning to give us a website on processing or a way that we can process our cannabis so that we can be more effective with it.
Yeah.
Is Paul still?
You go to YouTube and search for the channel Privatis, PRIVATIS.me/living. And in that list of videos, just go click on the videos tab and go down a few rows to a show called Solutions for the Planet from June 12th of 2015. It's a 33-minute long video, and it is literally Canning Cannabis 101. It tells you exactly how to do it. The guy's name is Doc Peter. I'm a show host myself, and I also am a hemp paste rep, but I'm not here to promote me. He and I do radio shows. We talk about all the things that hemp paste and cannabis paste can do for all mammals, because anybody that's got an endocannabinoid system can benefit from hemp and cannabis. Now, if you happen to be in a state where cannabis is not available and you can't get the raw materials to make your own paste, definitely go to the RBN website and go to the hemp paste link. That is my nutrient. That is the top.
We're going to take a small folks, you're listening to Revolution Radio. Totally listen supported. If you've got a sentence, just repeat it.
Thank you.
www.freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
You going back in?
There's still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. Freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is Captain Fred. You're listening to Revolution Radio. Today's Tuesday, the 19th of July of 2022. And I've been replaying the show that we did Sunday on Republic Broadcasting. I know that a lot of the listeners on Revolution do listen in Republic Broadcasting and might have already heard part of this show before, but I think it's useful that I go back and replay some of this stuff, because it's like Paul's recipe for his paste. You know, I think maybe he's correct. I think that when you heat your cannabis, you should put it in something that absorbs the terpenes as it is evaporated. It was described to me a few years ago by a scientist that was researching terpenes, that terpenes were the glue that held all of the cannabinoids together. And as we know, a lot of the things that happen that are vaporized are lost. And I think that for all of our lives, we've had to use our own judgment, our own experimentation, and come up with our own recipes. And my friend Mace on the chat just mentioned that she had used butter, and that's been my go-to resource too for absorbing the cannabinoids. I think what most people understand that has cooked with cannabis realize that cannabis is a fat, and it's absorbed in fats. It's not water soluble, so using water is not going to help you any. So the coconut oil, the butter, olive oil works. I've experimented with a lot of different kinds of processing. The fact that we're discussing paste, I think the major difference between the Rick Simpson oil and paste is that it has more of the plant fiber in it. But we're going to be continuing discussing the cannabinoids, and I'm going to continue with this conversation, so hold on just a second.
He and I do radio shows. We talk about all the things that hemp paste and canna paste can do for all mammals, because anybody that's got an endocannabinoid system can benefit from hemp and cannabis. Now, if you happen to be in a state where cannabis is not available, and you can't get the raw materials to make your own paste, definitely go to the RBN website and go to the hemp paste link. That is MyNutra. That is a top quality product. He's the only guy in the world that makes it. He's the only cookie in the jar, and particularly if you want a non-psychoactive version. Support RBN. Click on that little link. Get you a sample happy packet. Do it.
Of course, you can get a sample package for it. It sounds like a pretty good deal on it. It is hemp, though. It's not marijuana.
Yeah. Well, still, I mean, don't discount hemp and its abilities.
No.
I had a good friend. She was diagnosed with cancer, and she was chewing CBD gummies like they were chiclets, okay? And she was on 18 different doses of opioids per day. Mm. She was waking up religiously every 4 hours because the pain was debilitating. I got her started on hemp paste, and you're not going to believe that, but I really don't care if you don't believe it, because it's the God's truth. I took somebody that was on 18 different doses per day, including a fentanyl patch, and I had her completely off of opioids, without side effects, without withdrawal, in 4 days.
Sweet.
Wow,
She was also out of paint. She was out of paint. And that was with the non-psychoactive hemp paste that anybody can go to RBN, click on that little happy packet link, and get a couple of packages of them. This is something everybody can do.
You know, Paul, I don't know if you're familiar with my show, but in 2015, I started doing CBD shows with my friend Jim Strang, who has a hemp farm, and he processes the CBD, and I don't know how many people he's helped with CBD. I am a proponent for CBD from the get-go, and I've interviewed a lot of people. I think as back in 2017, I interviewed a research scientist, and we were talking about the terpenes. And even today, there's not a lot of research on terpene, but there is so many different, there's a lot of people that are studying it now. But I've recognized that terpenes is is indicative of the freshness of the cannabis that you're getting. And the state of Oklahoma, now that they've legalized cannabis, has used the terpene as a measurement of quality rather than THC content. I think that's a wonderful thing. What can you add to the conversation about the terpenes?
Well, I know there's 108 of them. They're very, very, very fragile. They are the very first thing to evaporate, and they are really necessary for it. And I know there's a lot of oil people out there, but I'm telling you, the oil is broken, okay? there's only one terpene there, if you're lucky, and the oil. There is nothing there to create the actual entourage effect that occurs when you have all the terpenes, or as many of them as you can possibly get, and all the phytonutrients. It's like a complete food. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Why? Because if you eat the entire apple, you can even eat the seeds. You won't suffer from arsenic poisoning. And those seeds actually have the same effect as apricot seeds, which have been demonized because of vitamin B17.
Well, that's because the pharmaceuticals want it demonized.
Well, absolutely.
Like comfrey.
Absolutely. Now, the oil is broken. Oh, we've talked about that. Now, what else? Oh, okay. I know why they declared a war on opioids. Do you know why they did it? Can you tell me a year? Why? Okay. Can you tell me any year within the last 20, 30 years that they have not declared war on something? The reason we have been under a state of declared war since Lincoln, and they have to declare a war every year. It was the war on illiteracy, the war on drugs,
poverty.
The war on poverty. They always declare a war, and that is what they have to do to keep that declaration of war in place so we can continue to operate under a suspended constitution.
Well,
and
we were just
going to talk about
us back in 1933 with the Enemy War Powers Act. So we've been at war directly with the government since then.
Before this show, there's another show that's Michael Storm's anarchy show. And I think that he said something today I was listening to, and I had to agree with him. I take a moment to exercise a little bit of anarchy every day. And I think that that's what we need to do. Is we all realize that we've been screwed by the media. I call it the dark triad, the media, medical, and the money. They're running the scam on this world right now. And
the currency actually controls both the media and the pharmacy. They're the ones, they're the top of the spear, the tip of the spear there. They don't want you to know that, but Rockefeller, Rothschild.
But the banks are behind that just as much as they're behind all the wars for the last 5,000 years.
They're most profitable.
Absolutely. So, you know, right now it's just this triad of media and medicine that's making most of the money for the banks. And they've tried for the last 85, 87 years since Anslinger passed the Cannabis Act of 1937. They've been keeping that going as long as they can. And they use lying by omission to keep us from knowing what we're missing. You know, it's just amazing. And like you're talking about with the terpenes, terpene research should be something we should all be aware of right now. I've been doing some studying, and I'm not ready for a show yet, but there's a lot of indicators that the terpenes are what is causing the migration of the CBD into CBNs. The oxidation or the aging of terpenes can also be similar to the aging of a wine. It's similar in effect. If you balance the terpenes, then you can balance the effect of the terpenes for individuals. I've been experimenting with pine needle hydrosols, and it's a wonderful, wonderful way to balance the terpenes in your margaritas. I don't know if you ever drink those before. But
I love them.
Yeah, the terpenes in the lime, and the limes are full of terpenes, but if you can balance the terpene profiles, then you can get the full effect of the margarita. That makes you
feel. Excuse me. Do you men grow your own?
Excuse me?
Do you all grow your own?
Oh, yeah. I grew 8 strains last year. I grew 2 sativas, 2 hybrids, and 4 indicas. And I had so much that I've not really gotten rid of all of it. And I didn't grow this year because I'm in the middle of the process of building my greenhouse. But yeah, I've grown cannabis, and I've got a couple of people that have some cannabis grows that were trying to get on air, but a lot of people are a little reluctant. I don't know if you've caught any of the shows that I've done on Revolution Radio, but I've interviewed a couple of people that are involved in the cannabis industry there. No, I'm a proponent for cannabis all the way around. I believe it's a wonderful thing, but it's like anything else. It can be abused.
I'm a proponent for freedom, for crying out loud, and that's what it is all about.
Right. You know, my friend that I had on last week, the Rastafarian, said it's the healing of America. Cannabis is the healing plan of America, and I believe that is probably true. A lot of people argue that Kratom is good for opiate withdrawal, too. Do you fellows have any experience with Kratom?
No, I don't have any experience with that at all.
I had a little bit of it. It made me kind of Looney Tunes. Dr. Phil claims it's what made me go off the deep end last time. Although I lost my mind, I didn't lose my underpinning. I knew what I was doing, knew where I was at, and I was just having a good time, but you're not allowed to have a good time. And then they don't believe me. For the fact that whenever I stop my drinking, that's when I start acting a little bit different, or even a lot different. But I never hurt nobody. I've never committed a crime. But I always find myself getting beat up by the bullies that wear suits and call themselves officers, and or thrown in jail and tased. Yeah, that's real fun. But what keeps me under the radar now is, well, back to my alcohol and my marijuana. But I think worse than heroin is these damn cigarettes I'm smoking all the time. I've been rolling since I was like 15. And I think tobacco is about, I've kicked everything else, but this damn nicotine. Mm.
Yeah, Greg, cigarette smoker. You know, the pharmaceutical companies don't have anything on the tobacco companies' industries for sure. But yeah, we need to exercise our freedoms.
Brushing your teeth kind, but do you...
You mean in my personal life?
Yeah. Is there anything that you do every day or every other, you know, month that you just...
I spend as many hours a day as I possibly can smoking cannabis.
Well, our subject this afternoon is cannabis, a subject which is of interest to large numbers of people, though it's rarely discussed, and in fact seems to have attained the status of somewhat of a taboo in polite society. My interest in it is intense and lifelong, I must say. I remember when I first encountered it, within a few minutes of my first exposure to it, I realized that I was going to be able to self-medicate myself to normalcy. I was, as an adolescent, what's called a nervous child, had a personal style that was very hard-driving and, I'm told, fairly abrasive. And it really came with the force of a revelation that the mere smoking of a small amount of vegetable material could completely invert the structures of my personality and socialize me, as it were, into a reasonably functioning member of the community in which I found myself. I first encountered...
Turning to nicotine, researching Parkinson's. They're saying it's it can calm the nerves for Parkinson's, but I think that smoking cigarettes is different than absorbing the nicotine. So I don't know. It's like smoking weed. I enjoy smoking a joint too, but I've begun to favor my vaporizer nowadays. I mean, I've got a little PAX vaporizer. You can pack a little bit of flour into the oven and heat it up in a couple of minutes, and it's a wonderful thing. You don't get all of the tars and the problems with burning the leaf. I'm not really sure what it does to the terpenes, and Paul was saying that the air drying out would affect it, but if you vaporize the flower, do you absorb the terpenes immediately, don't you, Paul?
You should. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV, so I don't know a whole lot about all this.
You'd be a good one, Paul, I tell you. You really do have a wealth of information, and you present it well.
Well, I've been doing shows for a decade now, so and I've interviewed... people that are infinitely smarter than I am. So I was just lucky enough to remember some of this stuff. But, I don't know. If you want information on the terpenes, all that information is right there on the, rbnhemppaste.com. Just go to rbnhemppaste.com. You can see all of the chemical breakdowns. You can see the depth of the chemical analysis that gets done every single year. There's informative videos on the effect some people use acetone to break it down. Break down, and then they evaporate off the acetone. Well, gee, do you think maybe some of it was still there? And some people buy their blood. Right, exactly. And some people buy their blood.
Does it change the chemical composition of the blood itself?
Absolutely. Especially considering you're boiling it. And some people buy their bud from dispensaries. Well, you know that they spray the plants with myclobutanil so they can tell what is.
Myclobutanil. That's the term. And we're working on that exactly. I've asked a few pot farmers around locally what myclobutanil is. A lot of people don't understand the term. Maybe it's an agreement ingredient in some of the antifungals that they use in the industry. But these are some questions that we're going to be asking a couple of the guests I have in the future about the ingredients or what is being used to control. I know that in Colorado you can't sell any bud for smoke that has been tested positive for fungus. So that probably would be the reason why people are using it. So let's get back to this conversation.
A taxed plant, and what is an untaxed plant? Well, the problem with myclobutanil is when you cook it, it turns into arsenic. Or does it turn into cyanide? I forget which one it is. But it's not good.
See, Fred, I told you there was a conspiracy. I was on it right now. They weaponized our freedom plant against us.
Paul, is cannabis legal in New York now?
Recreationally, it is now legal in New York. However, you cannot have more than 3 ounces at a time, and they have not set up any dispensaries or method for actually buying or selling it. So you can have it, but you just can't get it anywhere.
Can you grow it?
Folks, we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back.
Yeah. Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Wow, that's kind of a faux pas, isn't it? There, let's try that one more time.
Ocean man, take me by the hand, lead me to the land that you understand. Ocean man, the voyage to the corner of the globe is a real trip. Ocean man, across the tan man, by the sand, soaking up the thirst. I'm
I respected very much and who seemed to be a very skilled psychotherapist, except that she had no sophistication whatsoever about cannabis. And the therapeutic process kept looping back to the issue of my cannabis ingestion. And she would ask me, well, now, how many times a day do you do this? I would say 10 to 14. And she would say, and how many years have you been doing this? Well, 25, 26, 27. And finally, I saw that it was impeding the therapeutic process, not in its physical effects, but in its effects on her attitude toward me. So I determined simply to stop in order to remove this issue from the menu of issues that we were dealing with in this therapeutic process. And I'm happy to report that though I was at that time the heaviest and most continuous cannabis user I have ever known or heard of, it was no big deal. I simply stopped smoking it and took up reading in the evenings, and it seemed to have no impact on my psychological organization at all, except that I must say my dream life became considerably more interesting in the wake of that decision. And over the years in my traveling, when there have been times when for just a few days my access to cannabis was interrupted, I noticed this same phenomenon, that in the absence of cannabis, the dream life seems to become much richer. This causes me to sort of form a theory, just for my own edification, that cannabis must in some sense thin the boundary between the conscious and unconscious mind. And I sort of imagine the unconscious as a system under hydraulic pressure. And if you smoke cannabis, the energy which would normally be channeled into dreams is instead manifest in the reveries of the cannabis intoxication. The reason that I've smoked it so assiduously over the years is very simply that it seems to dissolve a local and personalistic perspective. If I don't smoke cannabis, I worry about balancing my checkbook, the state of my immediate short-term career concerns. In other words, all the anxieties of the petty bourgeois pour in to claim my attention. If, on the other hand, I avail myself of cannabis, I'm able to rove and scan through a vast intellectual world that is composed of all the books I've ever read, all the people I've ever known, all the places I've ever been, in no particular order. I mean, what I really value about cannabis is the way in which it allows one to be taken by surprise by unexpected ideas. In the absence of cannabis, my creativity is a kind of brick-by-brick, linear extrapolation of certain concerns based on what I've just read or heard in conversation. If, on the other hand, I smoke cannabis, I can go in one moment from thinking about Goethe's color theory to, in the next moment, puzzling over a particular instance in Mayan historiography, or, well, the examples are endless. And I think that my experience is generalizable. specifically by looking at, for instance, the architectural and art historical motifs of areas of the world where cannabis has been institutionalized for thousands of years. What we call Oriental extravagance is in fact the patina of design motifs and literary conventions that have been laid over ordinary experience in places like Bengal, the Punjab, and across the Middle East. Islam is a civilization, to my mind, largely, though perhaps unconsciously.
If you're growing it, then I have that's recreational. I don't understand why you shouldn't be able to grow it for yourself. Do you live in the city or in the state?
I'm sorry, what?
Paul, do you live in New York State or you live in the city?
I live in New York State, upstate.
That's a different place altogether.
Yeah. Mycobutanol converts to cyanide in your blood when smoked. Dispensaries know this and still use this poison to mark their plant matter for the taxable exempt. Know your source.
Yeah, that's why I highly recommend growing my own.
That's totally true, Paul. Because I'm working on an interview with a gentleman that has one of the three green grows in the state of Colorado, and they have a certification for the green grows, and they're absolutely free of any kind of chemicals. Now, I'm not really sure if that's something that may be something I'm going to look up, to be honest. I'm not familiar with that. I know that here in this valley, they grow 100,000 pounds of illegal marijuana every year, too, along with probably 150,000 pounds of legal marijuana. And they've been growing for quite a while. I've met one of the inspectors that goes around and checks on the legal grows, and also he's all the time looking for illegal grows too. But there's as much illegal cannabis being grown in the United States as there is legal cannabis being grown. I'd like to understand if they're actually putting some kind of marker on legal grown marijuana. I know that in the state of Colorado, when you have a legal grow, every plant is assigned a number. It's followed all the way to harvest, and it's just a crazy, crazy expensive way to grow cannabis. And a lot of the people don't really want to mess with it. They're just growing cannabis illegally.
It's just like the USDA. I mean, the regulations and paperwork are crippling, and it's the same thing with alcohol distilleries, and the regulations and paperwork is crippling. One link that I know of that talks about mycobutanol on cannabis is cleanlight.nl. That's cleanlight.nl. Go there and search for why you should never ever spray mycobutanol on cannabis.
What is that exactly? It sounds like it might be some kind of antifreeze or something.
Some countries, let's see, okay, mycobutanol is an effective component in some pesticide sprays. That is, it kills fungi such as powdery mildew and bud rot. You find mycobutanol in sprays such as Eagle 20 EW. This fungicide belongs to the family of triazoles. Some countries are contemplating a complete ban on microbutanol because of concerns in the medical profession with regards to triazole-resistant aspergillus. Even so, Eagle 20 EW and similar products are applied frequently in conventional agriculture, such as the farming of grapes. So,
You know, Paul, in Colorado, when a grow tests positive for fungus, they're not able to sell flour for smoke. It can only be used for process for concentrates. So I'm wondering if, you know, what that is exactly. I know there's a lot of different chemicals they spray on the plants to keep them from going to seed or to keep them from flowering quicker, but I've never heard of that. Well, I guess they could use it for fungus, but I don't know. There was several grows nearby here that were plagued by fungus a couple years ago. And,
what about sulfur or copper sulfate?
Excuse me, copper sulfate?
I wouldn't put anything on the plant.
Well, I wouldn't either, but while I did put it on my peach tree, what I did, I had a big piece of copper, it was all green, and I sanded it down in some water and then just sprinkled that water on my plants, and it took that, you know, the peach trees get curly leaves. And it took it away like that. But, I was just saying for a fungicide, that would be a more safer one. Is that stuff made by Monsanto, may I ask, that poison that you're talking
about?
I have no idea. I wouldn't doubt it.
But I know you don't want Roundup anywhere near your weed either.
You don't want it anywhere near you. Period.
Yeah, absolutely. A good fungicide, like antibacterial, is colloidal silver. You can mix a little bit of colloidal silver with a quart of water in a spray bottle and just spray your plants, and it should stop anything dead in its tracks. But you know, it kills 750 pathogens.
A friend of mine uses a combination of honey and milk for her antifungicide.
That'll do it.
Wow. That's new to me. Huh.
The honey evidently has so many antimicrobials that it really keeps fungus from growing.
But it's got to be real honey, because of the honeys that are out there.
Yeah, it can't be Chinese
half
honey.
Of the honeys. Yeah. Better than half of them are just high fructose corn syrup that's artificially flavored. And, you know, they're even messing with the raw honey.
Well, yeah, they're spraying the skies every bloody day, it seems. Dane Whittington, you familiar with him, man?
Mm-hmm.
Geoengineeringwatch.org, I believe.
Yep.
I'm not a chemtrail believer, I'm sorry.
Well, he's go to his website and with an open mind and see if he can change that. But I've seen it. I've known it for a long, long time now.
That's another topic. We're going to have to look at that.
There's so many to expound on.
I really enjoy having a couple of callers have a conversation about marijuana.
Thank you, Paul.
That's a wonderful topic. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred in the Fifth Dimension. We have Paul in New York and Greg in California. We'll be back. I just got the safety data sheet on microbutanol, suspected of damaging fertility or the unborn child, toxic to aquatic life with long-lasting effects, is placed in the 1986 California Proposition 65 toxics list. Oh, my God. Banned for cannabis cultivation. Microbutanol is banned in Canada, Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Oklahoma for the production of medical and recreational marijuana. In 2014, a Canadian news investigation by the Globe and Mail reported the discovery of microbutanol in medical marijuana produced by at least one government-licensed grower in September of 2019. NBC News commissioned CanaSafe to test THC cartridges for heavy metals, pesticides, and residual solvents like vitamin E. Pesticides, including microbutanol, was found in products from unlicensed dealers in Michigan. The current state action limit for microbutanol is 200 ppb tarts per billion in cannabis products. Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. This is Captain Fred, the Fifth Dimension, and we're talking about hemp again. We started off talking about the opioid crisis and how the medical establishment found it in their great wisdom to take opioids away from people that were dependent on opioids. And I was just looking on the RBN site right here for the hemp paste, and I'm not finding it. They're showing CBD pure instant cream and oil. Sam, are you listening to the show? I'm not really sure where that is, where the hemp paste is listed on the site. Is it listed on the website?
Yes, it is. Let me, pardon me, RB and hemp paste.
Yeah, for $5 for a sample, man, that's a wonderful value. I don't think anybody could resist doing that.
Yeah, okay. Go to shop. I just scrolled down the page a little bit. There's the 2,000 milligram jar of hemp paste. And there's up on the top, up on the menu, there's lab reports and info. Just scroll down a little bit. No time to talk. Music loud and men real warm. I've been kicked around since I was born, and it's alright. Yeah, it's okay. And you may look the other way, but we can try to understand the New York Times effect on me. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. Feel the city breaking and everybody shaking and staying.
Started working, researching CBD and how CBD manifested. There was a rumor, or it wasn't a rumor, I guess it was a urban legends, how cannabis had been used for so long that we had cannabis in our system and we developed receptors for it, and we theorized that we should be able to feed animals cannabis and be able to consume that animal and consume CBD from it. And I think he fed CBD or hemp to his ducks for quite a while, and he didn't want to eat his ducks. but he wanted to eat the eggs. But I think embryos are protected from a lot of different things, and so it never really tested out. We sent eggs to labs and tested the eggs for CBD, so there is no CBD eggs anywhere. But it could be, we could have CBD bacon if we worked hard enough at it.
Well, I would just get it from the hemp plant.
I think the hemp plant is probably the best try for $5. I don't know any place you can get that kind of a deal for a sample, unless you're at a show someplace. My friend Jim, he does samples at his shows where he sells CBD, but you know, he's got so much business right now. He only grows and sells to his customers for the most part. He was on the show, I guess 3 weeks ago now, and we talked a lot about the CBD. It's really good that you're on the show today, Paul, because I've been interested in the pace that RBN is selling, because it's, back when I was doing the show on RBN, I had worked with Statmiller, to try to market CBD on the RBN site then, and things didn't work out quite that well for it. But I don't know. I think there's so much CBD on the market. People are being turned away because they are buying hemp seed oil more than they're buying hemp oil or the CBD oil. Do you find that an issue? No, a lot of people are buying the hemp oil at the truck stops. Well, folks, thanks for joining. Appreciate all the listeners. And, you know, we do the best we can here with Revolution Radio. So if you've got any extra cash, send it to the Lady Horse. She's listed. This is Captain Fred. We'll be back next week. Thanks a lot, guys.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their